She's a homemaker. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's incredible what she does. She beautifies everything, and she pillow-wises everything, too. There's a pillow everywhere. But really, honestly, she's the love of my life, my best friend. It's amazing. After we just celebrated number 14. We got married 14 years ago on Park Avenue 2 days ago, 3 days ago, Tuesday. So she's going to bring the word. She is a corporate speaker as well. She speaks in corporations, at universities, and she speaks at churches all over the country. She was the, I'll brag on her. Can I brag on her? My wife. But she was the very first female to give a keynote address at the Leadership Summit at the United States Naval Academy. That was a big honor for me to be invited into that and see that, see what happened. As that was great. She's been on a global platform with Citi and Citi and Cisco for the national International Women Global Women's Day. She's been the keynote for a lot of mega churches as the first female preacher. So anyway, I'm just happy that my wife is a part of our church and she's a servant here. And yeah, praise God. Have a great time. Welcome, Lynette Lewis.
Wow, well, I am honored to be here. I'm mostly glad that you're here this morning. So many fun friends. We have, I met a bunch of people before the church started. Visitors, some of our friends from Texas, our Texas friends waving, went to Israel with us last year. I met Kendall, who's back there, Googled us last night here on business, found our church. Sweet Hazel, who we met. Now, y'all know that I have a shopping ministry, right? That means I shop all over the city. And we started talking at CB2 on the east side the other day in what felt like a random conversation, but it wasn't random. And we were, before we knew it, we were just talking about Jesus. And here she is this morning. She loves Jesus too. So we're just honored and glad that you're here. We've been in a series during the last few weeks on the story from Luke on the birth of Jesus. It's been called Invited Into the Story. I love that the Lord invites us into his story, that his story really becomes our story. And so as I've been praying for you, it's one of the ways I love to prepare anytime I speak anywhere, is to really just begin to pray for the people that are going to hear, that God would give each of us something personal for us that will make a difference. It's like when Jesus fed the 5,000 on the mountain, it says that there was plenty to go around, and there were even 12 baskets left over. And my prayer this morning is that not only will you hear something that the Lord wants to give you to feed you, but that you will have something left over that you can go share with a friend who needs it. So, Lord, I ask that you would honor the reading of your word and the telling of your story. And, Lord, take my simple words and feed your people in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we are going to, last week we talked about, Ron did a message about Zechariah and Elizabeth, which is the first part of Luke 1. Wonderful message. You can hear it online if you want. And this week we're going to dive into Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'm titling this message, Entering Into a Life of Promise. Entering into a life of promise. There are five elements that I want to highlight this morning in this scripture passage and in this story. But let's start with the reading of God's word in Luke 1, 26 is where we're going to begin. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, which was a supernatural pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her, and he said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Now, Mary grew up in a Hebrew household and certainly had been hearing about the coming Messiah for many, many years. That was a common expectation of the Israelites. They were expecting the Messiah. But now, suddenly, with the appearing of this angel, the promise became personal. See, we enter into many promises of God just by being in a church family, maybe by growing up in the church, hearing about the stories of the Word of God, all of these promises that are throughout the Word of God. But there comes a time when God wants to help us personally enter into the promises of God. And that's why I wanted to talk this morning just a little bit about how to do that. Now at 56, almost 57 years old, I've lived a life with Jesus for many, many years. And I have learned through trial and error and through tears and troubles and trials how to enter into the promises of God. And that is our heart for you, is that we would be known as people who walk in the promises of God. Don't just read about them. Don't just hear about them at a distance, but walk into those promises. So let's take a look at this life of Mary and see what God might be showing us about that. First, the first element of entering into a life of promise is God's favor. Notice in this passage, the angel says to her, "You are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Well, I want to say to you this morning, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. We know that to be true. There's two verses that I've spoken over my life for many years. Psalm 5:12 says this, "Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." Declare that over your life as you walk out every morning. "Surely, Lord, you bless me. I'm a righteous person. You surround me with your favor as with a shield." Then Psalm 84:11, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is upright." No good thing is he going to withhold from you if your walk is upright. He's a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. Walking the streets of New York, declaring that over my life for years and years and years. In times of faith, without sight, Lord God, you're a sun and a shield. Lord, thank you that you bestow favor. Walking into difficult meetings in my job, bosses who did not look favorably upon me, God, I thank you for your favor. I thank you that you cover me with your favor like a shield. Walking in to give my resignation at one of my jobs with a gentleman that was notorious for banning people once they left his organization. And I was nervous. I didn't want that. I had worked there for many, many years faithfully and wanted a long-term relationship with this organization. And I was walking up that stairway. I remember going into his office. I said, "Lord, you're a sun and a shield. You bestow favor and honor. God, I came in this organization with favor. I'm going to go out with favor. I'm declaring it." We sat there. And my boss, my immediate boss who was sitting with me, said he was in awe of how the meeting went. Why? Because God bestows favor. Amen. The Lord will give you favor. Call upon the favor of God. He will give it to you. He will add it to your life. It's his work. It's not ours. That's what's the beautiful thing of it. It's a gift. God wants to give you the gift of his favor. So favor is the number one thing. God's favor, the great thing about it is it keeps us humble. Because then we know, boy, if God hadn't showed up with his favor, that would have never gone that way. So we're humble, but we're confident because we're the favored of the Lord. That's not a place of pride and haughtiness. It's a place of humility and responsibility to live the life that God has assigned for you and I, to be women and men of dignity, to be promoted and to be raised up. Why? Because we serve the living God. And when people see us, they get to know Jesus. They get to know who he is. So the first is really depending on the favor of God. And as the angel said, Mary, you're highly favored. Guess what? When you're highly favored, here comes the promise. So number two is listening for the promise. Now, Mary had a visitation from an angel. And oftentimes we'll think, well, if an angel visited me and told me something, it'd be easy to believe, right? Well, last week we talked about Zechariah. He was in there, the high priest, learned about God all his life, and he saw an angel, and he was full of doubt and unbelief. See, it's not just the miraculous that causes us to believe. There is a process, a discipline, if you will, of entering into the promise of God, receiving the promise. Receiving is a posture. It's a position that I take before the Lord. I say, Lord, I want to receive every promise you have for me. I read the Word of God, and this is why reading the Word of God is so important. We read it, we write in our margins. Some of us still read hard copy Bibles. Or we highlight in our apps And we personalize the Word of God. I encourage you to do that. My Bible, I have a Bible full of promises through the years, and I love to look back. It's almost like a diary. This verse circled, this is for me in 1984. This verse for my son in this certain year. All of those declarations that I pray over my family and over my life, and we listen for the promise of God. The listening for the promise of God is cultivating an ear that hears. Where do you go to hear from God? How in an atmosphere of so much competition, so much blaring distraction, how do we hear the voice of God? Cultivate your special places to go and hear from God. For all these years that I've worked professionally, I made it a part of my routine to get up 30 minutes early, and I got up early already, to get up early and get with the Lord for at least 30 minutes before I went off to work. Sitting there with my cup of coffee, I figured out how I needed to do it. I needed to get completely showered and ready and everything to wake myself up so that then I could have 30 minutes of concentrated time with the Lord. Some days it was singing. Some days it was writing in my journal. Some days I would go on a run early in the morning, but make the entire run just my time of listening to God, not just crying my heart out in prayer and speaking the word, but then saying, Lord, what do you want to say to me? About a month and a half ago, it was a beautiful Sunday afternoon. Actually, it was a Monday, I guess, and I was just feeling the need for refreshment. Went out to Central Park, a park I've made a point of getting to know over the last 20 years. I absolutely love Central Park. But that day, I kept feeling the Lord just wooing me to go spend some time with him and just feeling this longing. It often starts with a longing. We long to go somewhere with God, and we follow that longing. We have to follow the nudges. Because Jesus doesn't shout at us like so much else does, but the nudge, I need more time with God, okay, well then I'm going to do it. And I went on a walk in Central Park and suddenly discovered this whole area that I'd never seen before. And walking around the pond and the trees, and I just started hearing a fresh word from God about why Ron and I are in the city right now and what he wants to do through my life, different than years past, something new, something fresh. See, the Lord will always keep your walk with him fresh if we dig into Jesus. And we listen for the promise. Listen, hear, stir it up. Sometimes I run, I make a practice running all the time with no headphones, just because that's how I hear from God. How do you hear from the Lord? Maybe you need a fresh, new posture or place or a sacred place. Do you ever have a friend where you always go to a certain place to have coffee or eat? We can do that with Jesus. Have our place. And then invariably when we're listening to God, he'll begin to download faith for promises. I want you to believe for something more, Lynette. I want you to believe. I want you to go deeper, meditating on his word. And so as you practice the presence of God, there's a great book, by the way, it's considered a classic called Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. It's about $4 on Amazon. I encourage you to read it. It's about a monk who was peeling potatoes. That was his job in the kitchen. And he talks in depth about the practice of the presence of God amidst the mundane in our lives. How are we going to hear from God? God will stir up the promise. We'll begin to feel a revelation that he's giving us promises. And then that will lead us to the next element, which is asking how. So this is what Mary does. Mary asks how in verse 34. She says this, and this will always be your response. I can almost say without exception. When God puts a promise in your heart, stirs your faith, it's going to be bigger than what you know how. And we will ask how. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? What are you asking God how right now in your life? How will my marriage change? How will I get a breakthrough financially? How will I truly get over the addiction that I've been battling or that's come through my family line? Or how will I make a move? Or how? Aren't we always asking how in some area of life? Or this is the big one. You ready for this? This is the how question. How long, oh Lord? Anybody asked that lately? How long, oh Lord? I love the Psalms because David is he's the master of asking this question. How long, oh Lord? How long will my enemies fight me? How long, oh Lord, will I suffer here? How long will you forget me, oh God? I've prayed that prayer. How long will you forget me, God? Didn't I have a promise from you? Didn't I think I heard you speak? How long, oh God, till my prayers are answered? How long? Lamenting with the living God is a beautiful gift. One of my dear friends, Esther Fleece, wrote a book in the last 2 years called No More Faking Fine, The Power of Lament in a Christian's journey and how we lament. And lament is all through the scriptures. There's a whole book called Lamentations. We don't often preach out of Lamentations, but it is a gift when you're going through lament. And I've had many laments in my life. But I love what David says in Psalm 13 at the end. He says, how long, how long? And we don't have this one on the thing, but I'll just read it to you. In verse 5, he says this, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Even in my lament, I say, oh, but God, you've been good to me. We keep a heart of tenderness and trust, even in the midst of waiting. So we listen for the promise. We ask how. And here's what the Lord will say to you always in the answer to how. This is the overriding answer of what God will say to you when you're asking how. You ready for this? This is right out of our scripture for today in verse 35. Then the angel replied to her. This is in the Amplified Version, which is the one I love for this verse. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a cloud. For that reason, the holy, pure, sinless child shall be called the Son of God. And listen, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For with God, nothing is or ever shall be impossible. Goodness, isn't that a promise? For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Nothing is impossible, not your situation, not my situation, not what looks impossible, not what the doctors have said is impossible, not what the marriage counselors have said is impossible, not what my mind says is impossible. But I would say this over my life for so many years. When I married my dear husband, Ron, many of you know our story, even getting married at the age of 42 after waiting all those years was a big nothing's impossible with God. And God did it for me, and it's just been a wonderful, amazing miracle in many ways of provision. But then we wanted to have our own children. He gave me the gift of 4 teenage boys, the greatest gift of my life. And yet I felt like God wasn't done. And so turned up pregnant at 45 years old, only to have a miscarriage at 2 months. And it's so painful and so difficult. And I'm crying not for me, but for some of my friends who are going through this right now. And it is hard. And I would walk along and just say, God, how will this change? And then I would begin to say, but the Holy Spirit's going to come on me. Oh, the power of the Almighty is going to overshadow my life somehow. And this thing that's going to be born somehow within a God who does the impossible will be beyond me. It's going to bring glory to God. This thing that happens is going to, everybody's going to know it's God and not me. See, when you're waiting for a miracle beyond your own ability to make it happen, then you know it's going to be for God's glory. It's going to be for God's, his story. So after we know that God says the Spirit's going to come on us, then number 4 is we receive. Now, usually when you receive, you will receive first by faith what you will later receive by sight. Doesn't take faith to receive what I'm giving you right here in person. But it does take faith to receive by faith what we believe God has for us. During that time when I was just so in prayer and so believing for pregnancy, I was, let me read what Mary said. First, Mary said then in response to the angel in verse 38, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. And the angel left her. See, we say in agreement by faith, let it be done to me as thou hast spoken. Walking through the streets of New York all over in my apartment in the mornings, Lord, let it be done to me as you've spoken. Lord, I don't even know if I can hear you speak right now. What have you spoken? What have you been telling me, Lord? Maybe I've missed it. Maybe I'm just pie in the sky trying to be Miss Positive. Oh, but God, I want to believe your promises. And just going back to the word of God that isn't based on my feelings. What God has spoken is standing on it and declaring it and saying, this is true for my life. I was reading a little book at the time called Supernatural Pregnancy or Supernatural Childbirth. Just a tiny little book. A lot of my friends had read it, and I thought, I'm going to read this while I'm in my season of wanting to have a baby. And it was just bold, and all these story after story of all these women who had gotten pregnant. And I was reading it. And so in 09, I had written in my journal, I am a double portion woman. We were in a time of fasting and prayer in January like we usually do as a church. And I was sitting on my front porch one morning, And I thought, I'm going to write out what I'm believing God for. I'm going to receive his promise. I'm a double portion woman. I live in two cities, Raleigh and New York. I've had two careers, and I just start going down. I've got four sons, and I've got this and this and two kitchens and all this equipment in my kitchens that my mother-in-law gave me. I was getting detailed with God. And I said, and because I'd been reading the Supernatural Childbirth, the desire in my heart was that I would have twin girls. Now, I was going through some fertility treatments, and I thought, you know, that's not that big of a stretch when you're on fertility drugs. Maybe I'll have twin girls, and I kept thinking they'll have each other, and I just, it's just what I desired in my heart. The desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. All these verses in the Word of God that talk about desires. And so I just wrote it in my journal. Went in and told my husband, and he was like, okay, we're going to believe. And I know he thought, as he says, she's drinking the Kool-Aid. I don't know what's going on here, but okay, we're going to be in faith. And then, you know, when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, I love the story of the two of them. It's not like they had social media back then. You know, Mary did not know that Elizabeth, her relative, who's much older than her, is pregnant. Now, it's a miracle that Mary's pregnant as a virgin young woman, but it's a miracle that Elizabeth's pregnant in her late years and late age. And so the angel tells her, Elizabeth, your cousin is pregnant, your relative. So Mary gets up and goes, and then when Elizabeth and Mary meet, this became one of my life verses right here, Luke 1:45. This is what Elizabeth says to Mary. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has told her will be accomplished. Blessed is she who has believed. That's receiving the promise. Believe. We choose to believe. Not as crazy people who aren't aware of reality, who walk around as loonies and say, you know, oh, yeah, you know, I'm this. We're careful about our faith. We don't just go casting it, as the Word would tell us, pearls before swine, acting foolish. No, we're careful, we're wise, but we are in faith, and we are declaring, and we guard our heart and our mind and our mouth on what we speak. Guard against the words of doubt. So you see the tensions here. We're in lament. We're crying out, where are you, God? You've forgotten me. Oh, but I trust in your unfailing love. And that is the tension of the believer. Believing for the promise, yet realizing we're still in faith. We're waiting to receive. So I loved this verse. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has told her will be accomplished. I loved it so much that during our wedding time, I was having my bridesmaid lunch at Tavern on the Green 14 years ago this week. And I had created this cross stitch. I love to do handy embroidery stuff. And I had done this cross stitch. I think I have a kind of a blurry picture of my mom and I. I had presented this verse in cross stitch to my mother, who was my greatest role model. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has told her will be accomplished. Do we have a photo of that? Okay, it's up there. Great, my sweet mother. So I gave her this embroidered verse. Here, now this was during our wedding, so you know I was full of expectation and having my four sons, but also believing for more. Standing on that verse, we enter into the promise. We act like we agree, and you know I mentioned I wrote in my journal. I'm stirring up my faith. I'm walking on the streets of New York, and if you're on the Upper East Side where we were living at the time, there were a lot of baby strollers, and a lot of women pushing around strollers, and I would just look at them and feel the anguish of my emptiness and say, that's going to be me. I'm expecting. I got that dropped in my spirit. One day it was as if the Lord was saying to me, you're expecting. Double meaning, right? I'm expecting. Just like what they say when a woman's pregnant, she's expecting. Well, I was like, I'm expecting. I'm expecting my God to come through. I'm expecting that I'm going to be pushing a double stroller down the street. I don't know how. In fact, at that point, I was like, maybe it'll be a one-person stroller. You know, that'll be fine, too. But And one day, I was just praying with the Lord and anguish. I'm telling you, balancing. Some days, absolutely discouraged. How will this happen? How will this happen? God, I'm in faith. I'm going to believe. And I would see, and I was like, Lord, you know, what will this be like when I'm pushing my stroller? And I started just seeing these pictures of people coming up to my stroller and going, wow, look at your beautiful baby or your girls. And I was like, Lord, what will that be about? And he said, when people come up to your stroller, you will know those are the ones that need a miracle. And your story will give them hope for their miracle. So I took it, and I said, okay, God, I'm going to believe that. I remember the morning after driving, Ron was driving me to the surgery the day after my miscarriage, where all the remaining parts of my dream were going to be taken out of my womb. And we were driving in the car on the highway, And we get to a stop, and I look at this license plate in front of me, of the car in front of us, and it says Luke 1:47. God's going to keep you encouraged. Luke 1:47, it's not 1:45, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has told her. But this is my passage. I've been standing on this passage. And now I'm seeing Luke 1:47, and you know what 47 says? My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. My spirit, my flesh is weak. I'm going in for surgery. This is the loss of my life. This is the anguish. But my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. That license plate was not an accident. See, God will keep you encouraged. There have been many days I've just said, God, I need encouragement today. Can you send me encouragement? I need encouragement. Sure enough, watch for it. God is on the move. He will give it to you. The last element of believing for the promises of God and entering in is simply this: do life in community. It's why all of us got up this morning, and instead of just streaming a message online or deciding we were just going to go to Whole Foods and get our groceries or whatever, or stay in bed longer, don't we all feel like that on many a Sunday morning? But instead, why did we come? Because we believe there is power in doing life in community. We believe that we need one another. We believe that it's not by accident that our lives have intersected and that God has us doing life together. See, I need your faith when I don't have faith for myself. Mary and Elizabeth needed each other. They stayed together for 3 months. Can you imagine what they talked about? How they stirred each other up? How they kept believing? A few years ago, I was meeting with my group, one of my groups here at church. I was kind of our leadership team of women, and we were in our group, and I always asked them to share with me one dream they're believing for the year. And we would go around the circle and share our dream. And so when I was going through my believing for pregnancy, I shared that dream, and they all prayed with me and stood with me. And now years go by, and it's not happening, and other things are going on. And we're in one of our groups in January, if several years later. I had not mentioned that dream in a while. I was putting it on the back burner and moving forward with other things. And out of the blue, one of the women in the group, my dear friend Tina Aquino. Tina, you're here this morning. Where's Tina? Wave, Tina. My friend Tina says to us after our share time, Lynette, I don't know where you're at with your dream right now, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to bring you a gift to just let you know I'm not letting go of your dream. And she pulled out a Christmas bib. Of all things, it was not Christmas time. It was not Christmas time. And she pulled out a bib, at which point another woman, Deborah, in the group started screaming, and she says, oh my word, I cannot believe this. I brought a gift too. And she pulled out two pink scarves and hats, little baby scarves and hats. At which point Tina said, oh my goodness, well, I actually bought you two Christmas bibs, but I left one in the car because I thought it was so brutal for me to even bring one to you. But now that she gave you two, I have to say I have two, and it's in the car. And all the women start just going, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And I'm just kind of sitting there dumbfounded. And one of the women piped up and said, this is like your faith baby shower, Lynette. We're all here. We're agreeing together. And so we were all just amazed. And several years went on. No babies. No promise fulfilled. And then 5 years ago, at the beginning of December, I got a call from another one of my prayer friends who I'd shared my dream with. And she said, Lynette, are you still interested in twin girls? I said, why are you asking? She said, I've been working with a young woman, and she was told she was having a boy. I helped her place the boy in a family for adoption. She's going into her 9th month, and she just went in for an ultrasound only to be told it's not a boy, it's twin girls. And I think they're your and Ron's girls. But if you want them, you need to get your paperwork updated quickly, because if she expresses any interest in changing her mind to a new family, I want your paperwork to put in front of her. Now, you have to understand, I was not thinking about this anymore. I had put the promise on the back shelf. We were moving forward. We had many other things going on in our lives. I thought my husband's never going to go for this. Bless his heart. I mean, goodness. He's now 54. And I said to him, what do you think? And he said, let's make this our last step of faith. We'll get our paperwork updated. We'll turn it in. And she said to me all along, she goes, don't get your hopes up. It's not likely she'll pick you, but I just want you to know that if you're interested, you need to put a step of faith out there. See, God is going to continue to press you and push you to keep asking you, how bold do you want to be for my promises? Are you willing? And that's why we do it in community, Because we have to know many times, am I being crazy? Am I being presumptuous? Is this a wise move? Is it me? Is it God? We don't know. That's why we need each other. That's why we do life in community. We give people pastoral privilege in our lives, to speak in our lives, to guide us, to help us, to make choices. It's so important. And so my sweet husband said, here we go. And so we put our paperwork in, and I honestly thought, she'll never pick us. This young woman's the age of our boys. My friend said, put a picture in there of your family. I want to see pictures. Tell your story. I remember sitting for 4 hours in my bedroom, on my bed. Ron was out watching a football game, and I had to put this story together, and I thought, my story, loss, heartache, faith, my story. I don't like my story. I'm not proud of my story. I don't want to tell my story one more time. But I told it, and I put pictures of our family and all of our sons who are this young woman's age, and I thought, she'll never pick us. And on Christmas Eve, we get a phone call from this young woman. And she says, can you be ready in 3 weeks? Because you're the family that is supposed to take these twin girls, and they're supposed to come in 3 weeks. And we said to each other, we can do this. We'll be ready in 3 weeks. And the very next morning, this was the picture that came to my phone. The very next morning, Christmas. With the line, they're here, come and get them. And sure enough, they looked darling in their Christmas bibs. Got our Christmas bibs there? Because my dear friend Tina wouldn't let go. My dear friend Marge, well, I have a picture of Tina. This was Tina and Ron and I at the baby shower, where all the friends who'd been standing and believing, see, your promise, your dream, what you're believing for, when we do it in community, then we all get to share in the blessing. We all pour out the joy together because we've all stood together. Marge, who's right here in the middle, Marge, my faithful prayer warrior, Marge used to leave me voicemails for years, and I never picked up Marge's call. You know why? Because I wanted it to go to voicemail. So that I could listen to it over and over. And she'd say things like, oh, Lynette, I'm not letting go. I heard your babies laughing this morning. I heard them. They were laughing. Don't let go, Lynette. You're going to see the outcome of your faith. Marge gave my darling little girls giggle babies the other year. Little giggle babies. Why? Because she had heard their laughter in her spirit before we saw them by faith. Here's a picture of the darling little girls with that actual entry from my journal, the double portion entry. Here they are laying here with that word. See, we write down the promises of God. Why? Because we want to have a history. Now I'm teaching the girls about their story, teaching them that what was meant for evil became something amazing. What was not the natural, normal childbirth story is now a gift in their lives, a gift that God entrusted with them, and they're beginning to learn about their story. I wanted you to see my whole crew. God gave me 10 children 14 years ago. Little to nothing. We just so happened to all wear the same shirt on the same day. It was so crazy. We all showed up. We just were, actually, they were obliging my great idea. We're all going to wear the matching shirts for the Christmas picture. But now I have 10 kids and 2 grandkids with another one on the way. And yet I just want to close with this by saying that miracles happen, but the tension remains. The tension remains. What do I mean by that? Well, when Mary and Joseph took their baby to see Simeon, who was in the temple, Luke 2:34, it said this, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Even though God answers prayers, and this has just been my story of you know, believing for pregnancy, you have your own story. It may not be in the same category of personal life or wherever, but we all have our story, and there's a tension there. See, there are two people missing in our family photo. Our beloved son, Jordan, who was fighting horrific cancer at the time that the twins were born. We had no less faith for the healing of our beloved son, Jordan. No less faith, perhaps even more faith. Perhaps even more assurance that God was going to heal him. And yet 3 months after the twins came, Jordan died. We've been having to live in this tension of God answers prayer, and yet there are things we will not understand this side of heaven. The piercing of our soul with mysteries that go with the miracles. And it's not easy. My daughter-in-law, Katie, Jordan's wife, who I love so much, she said to me a couple months after Jordan died something that was very powerful and it really helped me a lot. She said, "The fact that I cannot understand the ways of God helps me actually trust him more. Because if I could figure out everything he was doing, how would he be big enough to run the universe? How could I really trust him?" And it really helped me. Nathan would say so often in that journey, you know, there's a bigger script, a bigger narrative going on. And we see dimly. We don't know the whole story. We don't understand. So I love sharing the miracle story, but I don't want to leave out the tension of the unknowns, the mysteries that remain, the things that can't be changed, the sight of heaven. And then yet, our beloved Anders, Nathan and Elsa's oldest son, named after Jordan, born 9 months to the hour of Jordan's passing. And Elsa was 2 weeks overdue. See, God will keep reminding you of his faithfulness. That's why we keep looking. We keep looking up. We keep saying, "Blessed is she who has believed, that what the Lord has told her will be accomplished." I simply want to close with this passage, Isaiah 55, and Ron, you can come up. We're going to pray for you all, but I just love this passage, and this describes to me the tension of what we live in being people who receive the promises of God, and it's simply this, and I'm speaking this over your lives this morning. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Here's my word for you this morning. Receive it. "You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn brush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever." That's the inheritance. That's living the life of promise. God has a future for you. It will not be my story, but it will be unique to you, and you will love it. Stay the course with God. Don't give up. Don't let your heart be hardened through the disappointment. Lament with the Holy Spirit and let it be renewed into shouts and songs of joy. We want to pray for you.